You're welcome. And our officials from the department, as well as our agency, officials from our two agencies. I'm just wondering where is Akon? Where is Akon? Okay. No problem. We have put agenda before us, all of us. The first item, which is opening, and the purpose of the meeting. According to our program, today is the day where we're going to receive briefing from the department with its agencies. Second quarterly report, performance report, yeah. As the portfolio committee, we really appreciate the response by our colleagues in the department, because in other portfolio committee yesterday I met one chairperson. I can't mention the committee where the chairperson was going to the speaker to summon a particular entity to come and appear, because our people in the country do not understand the role of parliament. So with us here as the department or the portfolio committee on small business, we feel much great about the cooperation from the department, for that each time when you are needed, you are here. Ours is to come and listen to you and observe you and check with you whether you are carrying the mandate or the budget which has been approved by our good self is being utilized properly, whether Auditor General's findings is being implemented, because that's always the case. The CFO, the biggest problem in our society since our democracy is non-compliance regulations of the general, of which I believe we need to improve. And the improvement will be based on that those who have got no capacity on those fields, we must just I'm relieving you. So if we can take that stance, that relieving me, not killing me, you are not being fired, but you are being relieved to a position which other people view as a stumbling block. So here as a collective, as members of this portfolio committee, we are working together harmoniously, and we are sending messages, one message with one voice, that as members of the portfolio committee want to see the department excelling, assisting, and each time whatever recommendations by the portfolio committee, most especially a self-acting DJ, needs to be adhered to. So in that way we'll work harmoniously, because our objectivity or our role as a portfolio committee, and that's how we get our salary. So we don't want one day the speaker to then say that this portfolio committee, we must cease to pay them because they are not working. We are not going to be biased, and we are not going to do any witch hunt, but we would like to work harmoniously together with you, because the objectivity is to make sure that our society down there is being assisted. So with these few remarks, you are warmly welcome. The meeting is officially open. Now zoom to item 2, which is apologies. Do you have apology, Kunene?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. Good morning, honorable members. The apology that I've received is from my honorable Ms. Mang, and also honorable Neil, who indicated that he is writing the PC on tourism. think they therefore got to forward it.
Akwana, are there any apologies? Because I don't see my minister here.
No, I thought it was sent already.
It was sent?
I thought. That's my thing.
Okay. Maybe he did not open his gadget here. FNDG?
Yes, that's why I'm asking Akona, because my understanding was that an apology was sent to for the minister who's out of the camp and at the DM. So, yeah, I'm forwarding the apology for my list, but I'll check with the minister what happened if it was not sent in writing. And then, Chair, a minor one, the colleagues from FIDA and CIFA, they are still stuck in the queue. But if CFO Fida is here, so he can carry on with the presentation if you permit. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and honorable members.
I'm still consulting with my colleagues. Is it fine that we allow the CFO without the chairperson of the. Can't we wait for 5 minutes? Just to accommodate them. Agreed? Yeah. Let us put you at comfort zone because your leader must greet us and hand it over to you. Yeah.
Yes. I understand now that the support of the CIA will not be able to get out of the
Chair, we're going to deliver CIDA quarter two performance information report. I think starting with governance and compliance, indicating that governance within CEDA is in good standing. The board meetings that were supposed to sit this quarter did sit, and the committee meetings that are supporting strategy, implementation and monitoring also did sit as expected during this period. And also to highlight, especially on the board, is that the board met specifically this quarter to approve our annual financial statement, and also they said to approve the quarter one report, and more importantly, the board had an opportunity to have their first strategy session with the CEDA, looking at the new strategic shift that CEDA is taking in ensuring the maximum impact that is achieved. On the performance information in this slide, we are highlighting that we do align with the strategic goals and mandate of the Department of Small Business Development in four areas in terms of the what they're expecting in policy and what in the programs that are enabling on the delivery on those particular policy pronouncement, and also in ensuring the access to services by small enterprises. So we do check that alignment. Just again to start with the actual performance information. During this period at CEDA, we had 31 indicators that we had to consider. Those indicators of 31, we achieved 28. Slide eight of the presentation. We achieved 28 of those indicators, and that is equates to 88% of the organizational performance. And in terms of our norm, when we look at a tolerance threshold, this 88% is above the 75% tolerance threshold. Before I get to the actual performance numbers, just to give a context that when we're saying that we've provided intervention to SMMEs on slide 9, we're talking about the intervention such as from the training of someone who wants to start a business, providing of information on someone how to start and grow a business, compliance, exposing people to compliance, access to market, support, technical support, technology support, supplier development, quality intervention, and facilitation of access to finance in working with FIFA and other DFIs or the private bank. So those are, they're just an example of when we're talking about interventions that we on client support, we're talking about that, and also the facilitation of export market interventions for our SMEs. Slide 10 is a reflection of a scorecard that indicates what we have achieved, highlighted in green, and what we have not achieved, highlighted in red. We've got three programs that we measure our performance on. On program one, we achieved 34% of the indicators, and not achieved on 12. On program two, we achieved 22%, and everything was achieved on program two. Program three, also everything was achieved at 31%. Overall achievement, as indicated before, is 88%. And this is comparing to where we were in the last financial year. In the last financial year, we achieved 83% of our performance. So there's a slight improvement. To reflect on the areas where we have not achieved on slide 11, the number of interventions implemented, we had a miss in that one. The reason why we didn't achieve that if members recall, in the last quarter we were behind on assessment, which is the diagnostics that you do when a business advisor interacts with a client to try to identify what is the pain point in the business and what could be the interventions that can move the business to the next level. So in the previous quarter, we were behind on those. So the business advisors, they focused on catching up on that in order for them to be able to define the intervention that are required in that area. Then another one was the Gazelle program. Also, we are also indicating that in the Gazelle program, the status is not going to change much until the end of the financial year, because what we have done is there were new priority areas that the department wanted us to focus on. We had to reprioritize our budget to other impactful programs. For instance, we are creating new incubators and accelerators, which will still be serving the similar purpose with Gazelle program. So we had to relook at that and prioritize the budget to those particular areas. Those SMEs, they not necessarily mean that the SMEs, they would be kept in terms of the support to the SMEs. The other cohorts that we assisted in the past two years are going to be graduating. The only thing that we're not doing is to taking on the new cohort, but the previous support cohort have received the support that was expected for them. And also another area that we didn't achieve on is the number of clients supported through export exhibition as well in that area. We also had a slight miss on that one. The reason is because the key staff members that have resigned during the period, and it affected our performance in this area. As much as the program is needs-based, but in terms of the numbers of the people that could be trained and supported to go to export market, the performance was low. And I also must say that, but this is continuous, even this quarter, in the third quarter, we've already had two missions in China, and in, I think the other one is in Ethiopia, where we have our entrepreneurs participating on. The number of informal business supported through supplier development, we also have not reached that target, because I think we were planning to work with the retail motor industry organization, which is called known as RMI. So it took longer for us to conclude on the agreement, which was finally signed now in October. But within that, we've already started working. Already the assessments are undergoing within the relevant branches that are working with those. The assessment are meant to close supplier gaps in the requirements between the insurance industry, because the motor industry is looking at formalizing the auto body mechanics that are working in townships and the auto body repairs in such that they are able to comply to the requirements by the insurance industry. So this is what this partnership seeks to achieve. Now going to the numbers as per the CDAP scorecard. You will notice that the number of clients in slide 12, number of clients who attended entrepreneurship awareness, we've actually doubled the achievement is doubled in terms of what we were expected to achieve. I think what I can attribute that to the fact that in terms of the size of the small business sector in the country, we are sitting at around 2.5 million SMEs, and CEDA, looking at a market facilitation and partnering with other road players, we're making more inroads in terms of ensuring that we're assisting more SMEs. So those efforts have supported 21,000 SMEs this quarter. And also on number of diagnostics, and also we've overachieved on that one. We managed to assess more businesses, and we're over the target, which is a huge improvement from the way we were in the previous quarter. And on the number of training as well, I think we did well on that one as well. The clients that are trained on small business training, this includes even the cooperative clients. The number of interventions on implemented SMMEs, I had indicated before that we had not achieved that, so we have missed that by 35, which is really less than 2% underperformance in there. If I go to the next slide, slide 13. Again, we've performed well in many areas also on that side. What I've already highlighted as well, that we have not performed on the national gazelles, we have a shortfall of by 31. Also to highlight on that slide, the number of cooperative assisted with access to finance, we've supported 60 cooperative enterprises to access finance, which we've overachieved than where we expected us to be in the previous period. I think another important area to highlight is the number of learners participating in entrepreneurship at schools, because we do know that GEM report always highlights that South Africa has a low entrepreneurship skills level. And what we're doing is to intervene at the lower age in partnership with the high schools. So we've got a program that runs in high schools where we train we help to train the teachers to be able to bring the context of entrepreneurship to their curriculum. So we have partnerships that we've developed in that area to make us to be effective. On slide 14. I've indicated that we didn't do well on number of clients supported through export exhibitions. So we had we had underperformed by 1.66%. There is reflected as 12 shortfall of 12 enterprises supported. And I've also already highlighted the area of the number of informal business supported to supplier development. We had a shortfall there. And to highlight also in that slide 14 is the number of clients trained on national and international standards, the importance of that in order to improve competitiveness of enterprises. We've supported 696 enterprises in there. We've also exceeded in terms of that target. And another area that to mention as we exceeded is the number of collocation points that are improving the reach and access to CEDA services by entrepreneurs at local municipality level, because you know that CEDA has a presence in every district municipality. There's a fully fledged CEDA office, and that is supported in the local level with a collocation point in partnership with the municipalities. So we've got a current over 80 of those facilities that are currently existing. On slide 15, under the technology program, we've also, this period, the 2,140 enterprises were supported through the incubation program. We've exceeded the target that was expected to be delivered at that time. And also, we've supported, there is also a need of closing the gap between one of the challenges with access to finance, especially for startups, is the issue of investor readiness. So we've got a program that is looking at bridging the gap between what entrepreneurs want in terms of accessing finance and the expectation of the investor. So we prepare a startup to be able to be ready for access to finance, so that when they pitch before the investors, they talk the language that is required by the investors, and also they have business case that are viable that can be listened to by the investors. So we've exceeded our performance on that. And also the number of clients that are supported with quality implementation of quality management systems and certification of the product to align to the international standards. We've also exceeded, we've assisted 202 companies this quarter to comply to the SABS standard and sometimes the European standard, which is the CE marking. Then we've also supported as well 44 companies with the technology transfer, because one of the challenges with SMEs in terms of competitiveness is low productivity level. So we've got a program that supports them to acquire advanced technologies to be able to improve their productivity. On the other slide, the slide 16, one also important area to highlight is that we've also exceeded performance of the number of SMEs who graduated from the incubation program, meaning that those are the SMEs who have met their graduation milestones. They are currently trading and have increased in terms of the employing more people and are going towards sustainability. So those are 51 companies. And then also to highlight is the number of new incubation centers that have been established, to highlight that we've established 4 new incubators during this period, exceeding the target by 2. On the administration program as well, to highlight that we performed as well very, very well in that area. We are meeting the shareholders' expectations and we are delivering according to our stakeholder compact as the institution. And also to mention that we, in terms of the number of jobs created, this quarter we've created 3,792 new jobs, and which we've exceeded our target. And also we've sustained about 10,307 jobs during this period. I think another important outcome is because if the businesses that we're supporting are not growing and making income and contributing back to SARS in terms of the tax revenue, then we're not doing our job well. So just to highlight that this quarter, the companies that we've supported, they've increased in turnover and generated a turnover of 866 million collectively. And also to highlight on slide 18 is that because we do not have, everybody, we know that fiscal is constrained, and we know that the SME sector is huge. There's huge demands that are placed on CEDA to reach out in every area in order for us to ensure that we are deriving maximum impact and we actually do more with less. We leverage funds from the other partners. So during this quarter, we've in kind and cash, we've leveraged about 19.8 million support from the other partners. And also another important area to highlight is that we've got a target of ensuring that 75% of our budget goes towards the program, meaning it's direct benefiting the SMEs. This quarter we've exceeded the target of 75%, and 78.49% of our budget went directly to SMEs. And the following target is also indicating that we do rate our customer satisfaction for those SMEs that we support to ensure that did we really make impact in their business, were they happy with the service provider, so that we can improve where we have failed. We've also done very well in that area as well. And the last thing to highlight in that slide is that we also, in terms of we are a stable organization, our vacancy rate threshold is 5%. In terms of tolerance, we are currently at 2.44, so we're still doing very well. And generally, to also show that the SMEs that we are support, the sectors that we our SMEs are focusing on are aligned to the growth sectors of the economy. So we've highlighted the sectors that are in that our SMEs are involved in. On slide 20, this is just some of the highlights just for members to just understand some of the information behind the numbers that we just indicated now. Just to highlight that in terms of supplier development, 113 SMEs have accessed contracts, and also on the cooperatives, I think it's important to note that the one of the cooperatives in Brest has managed to get to the export market, has shipped their first container of oranges to Taiwan and the Middle East, and with the CEDA facilitated that the technical support of those entrepreneurs. And also another highlight in terms of access to funding as well is the support that was provided to an entrepreneur to acquire 51% black shareholding in a grape and a pecan nut farming business. And there was, that entrepreneur was supported and was received 62 million from the from Land Bank. Just another important area to highlight on page 21 was that is that the SMEs in the CEDA branches generally collectively they access more than 64 million in funding and grants from other financial institutions and stakeholders. As we have indicated before, that we said we're pursuing a new approach and strategy that is saying that how can we really intensify our efforts as CEDA and ensure that we're making really a maximum impact, because the SME sector is huge and the resources within the CEDA as an organization are inadequate to reach out to all the 2.5 million SMEs. We're pursuing an ecosystem facilitation model, and we partnered with the LED offices and private sector to ensure that we extend BDS support to as many partners as possible, who will in turn be the extension of CEDA to support SMEs. And that in that vein, we've trained 216 external stakeholders on CEDA tools in such that they are able to support SMEs adequately, without CEDA. Just to mention the few, some of the municipalities that have already been impacted are some of the municipalities in the Free State, the Khalix, the Fezilidabu, the Mangaung, Thabo Mofetsanyana, and some of the Distia initiatives. And also in Northwest, in Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, we've also have done similar intervention in Limpopo, in the Vembet district. We've done similar interventions in the Eastern Cape, in OR Tambo. Just to mention a few, we've done similar in interventions, and we've also worked with the Service CETA to also train some of their advisors in preparing for this, so that they are our extension of delivering BDS services for CETA at the end. And also just in the last to highlight in this slide is that we are still making headways in terms of increasing our reach, and we have signed up with new municipalities in these areas, which is from the Nguma in Butterworth, the Free State. We touch also the Northern Cape, Kai Karib municipality will have access there as well, and also the two municipalities in the Northwest province. And also touching another highlight of the department's priority in terms of the expanding the incubation footprint, we have also created a new center for entrepreneurship rapid incubator, also in the township in Queenstown, as well in the Eastern Cape. During this period as well, we've also operationalizing a digital hub in Gwamashu Township in partnership with the municipality of Etepini Municipality, and also with the same municipality in Etepini, we've also creating an automotive hub, which is the municipality is going to be the off-taker of market access for the SMEs that are in that hub. The municipality has really supported us in that. They provided with a building space, and they supported the hub with equipment, and they are also supporting it with cash, so they're co-funding with CEDA. That one is in Umlazi. And in Gauteng as well, during this period, in partnership with Gibela at Ekurhuleni and Ekurhuleni Municipality, in that area there's an incubator that will also be a way of ensuring that we access SMEs access procurement opportunities from Gibela. So that incubator is being in establishment phase in Guatemala. Another area is how we have enhanced in value to innovative entrepreneur to leverage support, and we have a partnership with SANAS, so where annually they're giving support to entrepreneurs who are in the laboratory space, who wants to upgrade their laboratory and comply to international standards. We've also got a partnership with CELSI, where they're supporting innovative startup in the digital space. They've set aside 17 million that will be going towards funding the businesses that will be chosen from those who have pitched to date. 19 SMEs have pitched for CELSI in that area as just an additional update. And already from the first two rounds, the 9 have been selected for funding. And this call was made as a national call. SMMEs were supported by CEDA to be ready for that and went to pitch. And also another area that is important in ensuring that SMME and understand the impact of Industry 4.0, and we have interventions that ensure that they are becoming ready. We also had a partnership with the manufacturing in Indaba, where we have session with SMMEs on Industry 4.0 awareness, and also we've developed a tool that is enabling them to test where they are and what are the gaps and what the future holds them, and just what they should do to improve their business. So we were testing that tool among the SMEs so that we are able to make it available to the practitioners. And lastly, to mention is that in terms of also the export promotions, we've supported, we've leveraged 1.4 million from the DTI for 16 SMEs who went and attended GTEX in Dubai, which is an international tech show that assists SMEs to collaborate and also to understand the trends that, and also to have access to market. And then also on the creation of Digital Hub, just the update as well, that we have approved additional 2 digital hubs during this quarter, and the emphasis is that they are all in the townships. There's one in Limpopo in Ketsikon district in Mankweng in partnership with the University of Limpopo. Another one is in Mangahung, which will be in Bochabelo township. We're currently working very hard to finalize our partners in Northwest, in the Bojanala district. The emphasis is that will be in township and in Hlanzeni, and those will also be in townships. And also in another area of looking at the mandate that we have been given of CEDA positioning as the lead incubator, we've already embarking in that area. and we've currently mapped the incubation ecosystem in order for us to understand what is available in the ecosystem and what support should CW be providing. So we've currently done that, and what we need to be doing now, we'll be getting to the next level of the quality aspects and grading in terms of who is who in the area and what level are they, which entrepreneurs should be likely to interface with those incubators. And then where are the gaps? Where we want to end up is we want to end up with a geomap whereby each and every municipality or anybody with whether it's private sector, without talking to anybody, if you want to invest in incubation in the country, you must be able to know that, okay, in my region, in my local municipality, already I'm covered in these sectors. These are the gaps. If I want to invest, I must be informed. I must only invest in this area. Whether it's private sector, because in our facilitation role, we want to influence private sector in how they invest in their enterprise development budget. So they must be able to see that if I'm investing, I'm in this area, these are the priority areas, these are the priority sectors, this is the way I should be channeling my budget. So we're looking at influencing the sector in that space. We've also had a round table dialogue with all the incubators this term, and unpacking our facilitation role as CEDA to get their buy-in and also to get input in terms of what support they need as well, more from CEDA, what are the gaps in order for them to support SMMEs much better. And we at the end of the day, what we need to do as CEDA when we report about the work of incubators in South Africa, we want to report about work of incubators with not only those that we support with money, but even those that are supported by private sector. So the next level of us is agreeing on common reporting metrics and so that we are able to have a collective report for incubator performance. Another area of pursuing this market facilitation role of CEDA as well, we are in process, we are developing a national standard, national incubation standard. We have already submitted a proposal to the South African Bureau of Standards, and we have received a positive feedback, and it has been accepted and adopted that there will be a national standard on business incubators. That standard would be the incubators going forward will be certified according to a national standard, in order to ensure that SMMEs are supported adequately, and in order to ensure that those who invest in incubators get value from the incubators, and the incubators are really deriving the impact. I think what HR had touched on in terms of where we are in terms of the vacancy rate. On the financial report, just to highlight on slide 33, is that we are on par comparatively to our expenditure for the previous period, so in the previous years, we are on par with how we usually spend, and we are slightly better than the previous year. So we are assured that we should be able to spend our resources by the end of the year if we're looking at the trend. And this trend continues even when we're looking at program by program in terms of expenditure. We've done slightly better than where we were in the last financial year in terms of the program. And we do know that we spend, I think our underspendedure was around 10%, and there are actions that we are doing to ensure that it doesn't continue to the next period. So the reason for underexpenditure that we experienced during this period is because we had to stop and take stock because we had new priority initiatives that we needed to deliver on, so we needed to reprioritize our budget and reallocate it, and which we've done that in October, and we are already delivering on those. And also we're paying out the 11 million that it was due to be paid out to the National Gazelle program in terms of procurement of the equipment that was for the Gazelle, was the Gazelle beneficiaries. So that has happened. And also we're doing a major overhaul on our ICT infrastructure. So we already have signed off the project plan and the budget has assigned. And in that area, we started to do our procurement in that area. And then, in conclusion, Chair, I would like to say CIDA has performed adequately on approved performance plan, and we have further outside our annual performance plan delivered on the new initiatives of the Department of Small Business. We are working on piloting a district facilitation model, and we've chosen various districts. We've just finalized the consultation with the OR Tambo district municipality, which we're expecting to launch that district during the third quarter. We've also worked with the partners, CIFA and the department, and NEF in as well. We're working in terms of ensuring that we have a common business template to improve access to finance for SMEs and reduce turnaround time. We also delivered on the digital hubs as well as the expected target. And also to highlight in terms of the product market as well, we are also really doing work in that area. We have sent out the request for proposal in various areas to the people who are experts who have been working on the market to get inputs to what we want to achieve in that area. And also just to highlight another area is that I've already spoken about that the progress we're making on development of the national incubation and acceleration standards. Thank you, Chair, for your members.
Thank you. Can do better than that. Just because you don't have to. Thank you, sir. I was checking at your PC. You tried your best. The document itself was too long. Honorable members, I need your advice. Can we receive all the presentations while noting down so that when we zoom into deliberations, we'll do it once? Agree to?
Okay. Now, I think it's better for us to do it now, just after the presentation. Because it's fresh in our minds, it's fresh in CIDA's minds, and when they finish, then we finish with CIDA. So I request that we do it after each presentation.
Does
it count? That's proposed.
Because I'm looking at the time. I want to save time for deliberation after the presentation because we are under pressure. Quarterly report while presented with time, but because of the issue of plenary on my side, it is a problem. But if we agree that we will move with according to the program.
Thank you, Chair. My take is that we are making notes as the presentation goes. The only request would be that Chair will then have to afford us time to engage them one by one when you do give us time to engage, so that we can move what everyone is presenting. But then when it comes our time, that you don't.
That was in my mind. I was trying that because if I allocate, let's say, 30 minutes to each one to present 30 minutes, they will have ample time, let's say 1 hour for deliberation as honorable members. That was my feeling. Honorable
Thank you, Chairperson. Noting the time constraint issue, perhaps a way to find a balance, because I mean we've had a huge volume of information just presented to us, and we can take notes, but in the course of the engagements, when you're dealing with the department and the two DFIs at the same time, issues can sort of get lost in that whole sort of scale of things. So perhaps a way to find a balance is that after each presentation, if there are any urgent burning issues from particular members, it doesn't have to be an open engagement session as usual, just to allow that space. Yeah.
Agree to honorable member.
Yeah.
Thank you. You will be allowed to do that. It won't be an interjection, it will be for clarity purposes. Moving forward, because I want to give you at least 1 hour for deliberation of it. Thank you for understanding. The next presentation will be from CIFA. Our time is 9:30 now. Is that last question? I'm giving you 30 minutes. 30 to 35 minutes. I want the speaker. I
feel
your document. You can do that.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, Honorable Chair. Mm-hmm. I would do like my fellow chairperson, considered, and I'll just pass it on to Sifoni, who is the head of direct lending and also acting in the wholesale lending business of CIFA. I should also to apologize on behalf of the CEO and to the CFO who couldn't be here because of family commitments. Unfortunately, we can't go. So without any waste of time, I'll hand over to her to proceed with your presentation.
Over to you, baby.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable Members. I will start on slide 3, and this is essentially the dashboard of CFO. For the specific quarter. And I want to highlight to the members that this is a snapshot as at the end of September, and I will unpack the various elements as I move through the presentation. As you will see, the majority of the measures for the specific quarters were underperformance because from a CIFA perspective, at least a minimum of 75% of the target should be met for each measure. However, when I come to unpacking each one, I will then also elaborate on where we are year to date. It is not uncommon on a quarter to quarter basis to find some variances, but as an organization, we always strive to ensure that we are on track in terms of the annual target as well. The same applies to slide 4. Where we reflect our financial metrics, which is our accumulated impairments, our cost to income, as well as our collection rate. By way of introduction, the report reflects CIFA's performance as at the end of quarter 2, where the total loan book of CIFA at the end of quarter 2 stood at 1.7 billion, which reflects an increase of 100 million from quarter 1 to quarter 2. The split on the book lies within the wholesale portfolio of 919 million and the direct portfolio, which is 810 million. During the quarter, we approved facilities of 187 million, which represents 67% of the quarterly target, and we also disbursed funds into the economy to SMEs of 187 million, which is 79% of the quarterly target. It is important to note from a disbursement perspective that we are slightly ahead of the annual target because at the end of quarter 2, we want to be at least at a minimum of 50% of the annual target, and for the year-to-date annual target, we're sitting at 54%. So it means we are on track in terms of the annual target of disbursement. As well as in quarter 2, we supported 16,109 SMEs via the various loan programs at CIFA, which helped to create and sustain jobs of 18,877. Of the 187 million that was disbursed, that money, 156 million went to black-owned SMEs, 12 million to township-based SMEs, 65 million to women-owned SMEs, and 37 million to youth-owned SMEs. It's also important to note that if you take that particular bullet point and you add those disbursements, you won't get to 187 million because they are a subset of the 187 million. But I will cover that later on in the presentation. Collections is a very important area for CIFA because in order for us to maintain sustainability, we need to collect the cash that we are putting out to SMEs. And for the quarter, we collected 97.7 million worth of collections, as well as accumulated impairments as at the end of September 2019 was sitting at 39.9%. So to unpack the various metrics, it's starting with approval. I did mention the quarterly performance. However, from a year-to-date perspective, CIFA has approved 381 million as at the end of the quarter, which represents 41% of the annual target. So there's a slight lag in terms of approval, primarily because on the Kula Credit Guarantee Program, we did not have it record any approvals in quarter two. When it comes to disbursement, CIFA disbursed up until the end of September 425 million, which results in a 54% achievement of the annual target. And like I indicated earlier, we are on track in terms of disbursement. The other thing that I wanted to make mention of is that it is possible to approve, because there's generally a lag of a month or two between approval and the disbursement date, so that's why the numbers will never be exactly the same, that you approve the same amount in one quarter and disburse the same amount in one quarter. On development impact, CIFA measures itself on various number of development impact measures. These include the number of SMEs financed, the number of facilities to SMEs, disbursements to youth-owned businesses, rural communities, township communities, women-owned businesses, black, and etc. So starting off with the number of jobs facilitated, CIFA supported the creation and sustaining of 68% of the quarterly target, which is 18,877 jobs, and that represents a year-to-date of 45% of the annual target. In terms of the number of SMEs financed, CIFA supported 16,109 SMEs during the quarter, and that represents 42% of the annual target for number of SMEs. This particular slide, on slide 13, covers the number of other development impact measures that we use at CIFA, and you will see there as reflected the various aspects. So you will note that we were slightly behind when it comes to the youth-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, those in the township areas, and persons with disabilities. However, since the quarter ended at the end of September, there have been a number of interventions that have been put in place to make sure we catch up on those specific development impact measures. In terms of the provincial spread of the support that CIFA offers, in rand value terms, CIFA supported in the majority Gauteng and KZN with Mpumalanga and Limpopo and the Eastern Cape closely behind. Last time we were here at the Portfolio Committee, We took very seriously the note around improving access to finance in the Northwest, and as a result, you'll see a slight improvement, but in addition to that, CIFA will be hosting next week on the 26th of November a youth pitch for funding session in the Northwest. And through these sessions, in collaboration with CEDA, we are going to aim to achieve an increased reach in terms of impact in the Northwest, and we've made a call for SMMEs in the Northwest to come forward on that particular day. From a collections perspective, as I mentioned earlier, we collected 97.7 million for the quarter, and 87 million for the quarter, which represents 89% of the quarterly target. We also measure whether those collections were on-time collections or they were SMMEs paying their arrears. And in the collections for the quarter, 89% of the collections were on-time collections, which is a good achievement, and only 10.6% were arrear collections. So in, as you noticed, there were, as I mentioned, a slight lag in some of the metrics, and we thought we should also provide the committee an update of where we are since the end of quarter two in terms of catching up in the areas that we need to. On the direct lending program, we are on track, and already, as of last week Friday, we had approved 45 million, and we have dispersed 29 million. It is expected that direct lending will achieve 100% of its approval target for quarter three, as well as 113% of its quarter three target for disbursement. On the wholesale lending, which is where we are slightly behind, we've also since approved 100 million of loans, and we've disbursed 107 million of funding in the quarter. So we are expecting to finish the quarter on 490 million of approvals and at least 175 million of disbursements. The various programs have got different pipelines, and you will see that the wholesale lending pipeline is a significant pipeline, which is in excess of $1 billion. And some of that pipeline results of us implementing the Small Business and Innovation Fund, which has kicked off, and we've already approved 100 million on that program, and we are set to approve close to another 200 million during the quarter. So that program is being implemented. On the financial metrics, CIFA measures its cost-to-income ratio, and for the quarter, the cost-to-income ratio was at 72%. However, I want to caution that it is halfway through the year, so some of the cost-to-income, a true reflection is when you've incurred the expenses for the full year, things like salaries, etc., that you get a better picture. But we are managing costs at CIFA and ensuring that we're not incurring costs outside of budget. The accumulated impairment, as I've mentioned, is sitting at 39.9%. It's slightly higher than the target. However, when you collect, when your collections are strong, then your impairment rate does get affected. There are measures we have put in place with CIFA to ensure that this accumulated impairment does not exceed the actual target set for the year. In summary, committee, the slide 21 reflects the full picture of performance for the quarter. You will note that CIFA measures itself according to 17 performance indicators. 13 of those are either green or amber, which means they are on track. Typically at mid-year, we want to be at least 50%, so you'll note there's one at 54% and others are in the 40%. But the ones that are in the that are below 37% or less at mid-year are the ones that we are concerned about and have put interventions, which are the youth-owned funding to youth-owned businesses, which will be addressed by the various pitch for funding for youth businesses that we're rolling out, starting in the Northwest, following in the Eastern Cape and all other provinces by the end of the financial year. So So through that particular intervention, we are aiming to address that particular lag in that indicator, as well as women-owned businesses, which we have partnered with certain women business associations to increase our reach there. In terms of townships, we actually have approved a significant amount of funding to township-based businesses. However, the disbursements are still flowing through. So we do anticipate that we will be on track on that particular measure. And the same applies with disbursements to people with disabilities. And on the slide 22, as I mentioned, our financial metrics are on track and our labor turnover is on track. However, the last one, which is our measure on performance is only an annual measure, so we do not measure that on an annual basis. Thank you, Chair.
I was watching whether something is triggered or not. Nothing happened. But I'm tempted to allow members to can engage with the full report to give you ample time. It's now 10 to 11. Can we engage on the two reports? As I promised that I will give you more time. So that we honorable group mustn't get lost on the report.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentations. I think the colleagues will appreciate that for most of the members of the committee, this is our first rodeo in engaging with the quarterly performance reports. So there's a lot of new information and kind of frameworks. So I just have one question at this point, and it was triggered by the indication that there had been no approval so far under the Kula Credit Guarantee Scheme. And that's a concern for me, because I think that mechanism is crucial in terms of leveraging the commercial credits capital. So I'm just a clarity-seeking question as to why that was the case. Is it an issue on the side of CIFA around process, or not having received eligible applicants, or is it an issue on the side of the commercial credits, commercial banking sector, around their bottlenecks or their barriers? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Also want to welcome and appreciate the report. The first question is going to CEDA. Can you please provide more information on the partnership that you have with schools regarding the entrepreneurship curriculum that you are working with the schools to encourage young entrepreneurs to consider opening businesses? And also, I would like to advise perhaps that you don't only focus on schools. There's stock fairs, there's churches, there's other community-based organizations which has which have access to a lot of people that may need that assistance, because you find that other people do not even make it to school. So they go, they are found in churches, are found in software. So if you don't limit your engagement or your partnership only with the schools, but you consider other community-based organizations as well. Then second question goes to CIFA. Your collections was 97.7 million. I did not see where was your target. Might have missed it. Then the second question is on the disbursements. Northern Cape is sitting at 0.5%. And I note that Northern Cape is predominantly one of the most poorest of the poor provinces in our country. What are the plans maybe to have more roadshows in the province, particularly the deep rural areas, to make sure that young people, people of the poor province, have got this opportunity, instead of maybe saying we did not receive any applications? If we could be more forthcoming by going directly to the areas where there's low engagement, I think it could help the citizens in those areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable,
I just want to start on by
don't mind, because my birthday is on the 28th of December. So I'm getting another year present from township. Thank you. I want to start on a slide 13, Chair, and I will say let me appreciate the presentation and further say that really it shows when you compare this quarter and the last quarter there is an improvement in other areas. We do acknowledge that. I'm speaking on Sira. I want to speak on number of learners participating in entrepreneurship in schools. I just want to check if is there any sustainable programs, because I have experienced that our kids used to do those entrepreneur days at school, and after some years it will not come back again. Do we have anything that will motivate them, and how do you carry them over so that they can be motivated to continue do that entrepreneurs at school, because we really need it to start at school. I know it must be a policy decision. We must take resolutions at our conferences and make it a policy. But I'm just saying, because when you are there as a parent, you are encouraged. Kids can even bake chair at home. You can see your own kid baking at home so that she can top up for the entrepreneur. So I just want to check the sustainable program. The other slide, Chair, is on slide 21, access to skills training and targeted support. Bullet one way says a total of 105 cooperatives were trained in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and Northern Cape as part of SIDA partnership. I want to check, can we please give the breakdown as the three provinces that are indicated, your Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and Northern Cape, because if you say 105, we're not sure of the breakdowns. And then the last question will be on slide 23, ecosystem coordination and capacity building, where it says today 268 external stakeholders have been trained on SIDA tools. I just want to check where are those stakeholders, and if they have trained, are they able to assist other SMEs, or how do you utilize them because they are trained and they have tools with them? Are you just giving skills to them so that they can utilize those tools and skills to assist their own SMEs, or are you able to take them to other SMEs to help them? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable,
thank you, Chair, and also my appreciation for the presentations that was done. Madam Chair, my question is to SIDA, and it's about SIDA's footprint. And it was mentioned in the presentation that there's a CEDA office in each district municipality. Now, if you take a municipality like Dr. J.S. Morocco, it's plus minus 180 to 200 kilometers from the district municipality in Kambala. And so the problem is those small businesses that really need services from CEDA. I mean, entrepreneur can never, you know, it costs him a fortune to get to the district municipality. So I was wondering, why don't we have a CEDA office in each municipality office and not in each district instead of each office in a district municipality? That's my first question. My second question, Madam Chair, is about the incubators. And there is a mapping, according to the presentation, there is a mapping of incubators ecosystem already available in the department, if I heard correctly. And I was wondering why didn't we, why was that mapping of the incubators in South Africa wasn't a part of this presentation, so that we can see where this incubators. And the last question is also about the footprint of incubators in South Africa. I think the presentation said there was 8 new incubators developed in this past 7?
The target for this year?
Yeah?
8.
8, yeah. All right. Yeah, the target is 8. And how many of those incubators is in the rural areas? Because, again, I want to talk about James Morocco and Timosile, a very, very rural area in Mpumalanga, as you know, Madam Chair. And the incubators there, the state of there was a lot of money invested in those incubators, or supposedly incubators. And the state of those incubators, you can't run a business from that incubators. So I was just wondering, that 8 new incubators that's going to be developed, are they going to be developed in rural areas? Thank you, Madam Chair. And can I just add one proposal from my side? The financial report, if we can, part of the financial report, get history figures as well. So we only get this year's figures. So if we can just get the same period of the previous financial year, so then we can compare, the two, amounts or whatever. So that's just a proposal. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Your proposal is taken. Let them note it. They must not entertain it because it might confuse them. The next speaker.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also, I want to join the choir of those who bring thanks and welcoming the report. However, I must say, when we are thanking you for the report and welcoming the report, doesn't mean we agree with everything that is written in the report, as it were. It is merely saying that thank you for taking out the time to bring us into your confidence with regards to what is happening in the department. I want to, before I go to the department, say, for my 6 months being as a member of parliament, I am quite amazed at how easy it is for departments to come and can make projections and feed us with literature and numbers. And we sit here and we accept that as if it is a reality on the ground. We've been sitting here and we've been receiving reports. It's not for the first time. We receive reports from the departments and we accept that this is factual that you're bringing to us. Where we've got a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that we actually look at where the disbursements of these monies take place on the ground, and us as small business in particular, we have never went to any of these things in Northern Cape or where or Gauteng or seen any of this work that the department is doing. We're taking it for granted that we've been given the responsibility by citizens to ensure that the spend of taxpayers' money is being done as it is said in this presentation that we receive. So I'm speaking to ourselves first.
before I go over to the department. And it should be noted, Chairperson, that it cannot be correct, and it should be something that is addressed with urgency, because it can't be. I remember some cases where people have been given reports, and at the end of the day, they couldn't take responsibility for what was in the reports because they have never taken the time out to ensure that actual things have happened on the ground. The spending in the Northern Cape was something that I was going to bring up as well, but it, I've been covered with regards to the spending in the Northern Cape here. As you can feel from our side, that there is an amount of urgency that is mounting. I think it's not the first time that we've brought it up. However, let us appreciate it was on 0%. The last time that you came, it's 0.5. It means the last time we said something has happened, but it's not enough. There's a whole lot more that I think there must be a focused approach, specifically looking at the rural township, small dorpies, where the poorest of the poor is living and not experiencing our programs, as it were. I also want to bring, you've also touched on the Kula Credit Guarantee Program. I don't think I need to go there again. You spoke about approvals and disbursements, and it takes a month or two. I need to understand why it would take 2 months. If you've approved me, why would it take 60 days before the actual disbursement happens? Because this is, you know, for a small business, a day is a very long time. For a small business, a week is longer, and imagine a month. Some small businesses fall in 15 days just because they couldn't pay whoever has supplied them with whatever goods is. Let us see what is happening, why it is happening, and how can it be streamlined that after approval people get this business. I know from the municipality that I am from, in the city of Ekurhuleni, that even invoices received, they take 15 days to pay an invoice maximum. So I know that there is a view that government should be faster in doing these things. I'm not saying skip the necessary that needs to happen, the due diligence, but do speed up the process. Again, there is this mine called DRD Gold, who is running this entrepreneurship programs in schools. I know that because I've been a beneficiary of that program, where they come and they teach you about business, they teach you about how a business is run, they teach you about how you register your business, they teach you how you do your financials, and then they give you startup capital. In order to, after you have now gone through the program, they give you startup capital. I want to find out, do we give startup capital? What is the amount of startup capital that we give? How's the follow-up and the mentoring that is going up with that? And are we using only in-sourced? Are we outsourcing some of this work to ensure that all of the other schools that is not in our metros are also receiving this kind of programs? Talking about the entrepreneurship programs in schools. Is there maybe a target that has been set? And how many schools is it per province, as it were? And do we have some good stories to tell? Is there anything that you can say that has come from the program that we have run? Have we considered bringing in other role players, partnering with some that is already in the industry to ensure that the rollout happens faster and that we reach more people in a shorter space of time? The pitching booster, we have spoken about it the last time. And I haven't heard about it right now. What was the improvement? What is the status with regards to the pitching boosters? We haven't seen a lot of or heard of a lot of pitching boostering happening on the ground. I want to hear more about that. If you can say, what is your plan with regards to the pitching boosters? It's a critical component in ensuring that the entrepreneurs and small business people get a platform to bring their ideas and possibly finance. With that said, for now I rest.
Thank you. Whip.
want to record my appreciation. I think we're making good progress, but the need and the urgency to address the unemployment and poverty problem must never allow us to just accept our laurels. There's always room for improvement, so I think we can see significant progress and we want to report that. But ours is to encourage you to do more with less, to improve on the efficacies, to improve on the return on the investment, because our country deserves that. So I think that I just want to start with that general point. Ours is to ensure that we encourage you, motivate you, and also inspire you to do more. So I think for us it's very important that you're on the right track, and I think for us we need to speak to that. Let me also just come to some of the specific issues. There was a discussion about the integration of CEDA and CIFA, and how do you as executives plan to work in a more collaborative way and avoid wastage and duplication. So I need a discussion or comment around what's the modalities and the time frames around that, and since where we are, what progress has been, are you guys collaborating? And give us that evidence of proof that there is that better collaboration. Complaints has always been that you go through this whole rigmarole of training and capacity building, and that doesn't align to actual resource mobilization so that people don't get. So you spend, the complaint has always been that we spend lots of money to do the whole capacity building, training, all of those things, and development of small business. But it doesn't translate because the business plan doesn't translate into actually getting the funding and the successful model. So I think that for me is just a comment that I need you to give us comfort that there is progress around that. In terms of the training and development, cooperatives remain. So cooperative registration is somewhere else. It's in a social development. And I'd also like to get a comment around how has that collaboration been, because we are worried about cooperatives. And we see that there's different pots where cooperatives should sit, and it's actually falling through the cracks. So again, if both CEDA and CIFA can respond to your approaches to cooperatives, when you do funding approvals, I see it's almost in one go. So maybe you can just speak to the difference around that. I share the sentiments around audit evidence. It's mind-boggling to say that you went through and supported X thousands of SMMEs. Where are they? How are they? And is it paper? Is it paper tigers that we have? Or is it real hands and feet, warm bodies, the goggles that standing in the transport hubs, where is it? Okay? And can we feel that return on the investment of the money that was spent? So maybe in future, Chair, we need to find a mechanism to actually get a independent audit evidence. If you say a random sample that you've trained X amount of people, where are they, and how do we as a oversight committee have access to that, or at least as Parliament Portfolio Committee can do random phoning or checking so that we can actually get that. It's not that we don't trust you, but I think it's also for us to see where we can actually do those checks. Then I think the roadshows and the oversight is a key thing, Chair, that we'd want to see how we can collaborate with the department and the agencies. So in the new year, we certainly want to see how we observe the roadshows that you are, the outreach that we are reaching. So we're literally saying if there's a one-stop, a non-stop shop, where everybody can both get the development and the finance for this. I think the targets around the incubators and the targets of youth, women, and townships, we are pleased that they are segmented like that. But is the incubator set up in those areas? I mean, we, and the presidency does this, they track all the poverty hotspots. So they can clearly say, during the Department of M&E, they can say, these are the 100 townships
where the poverty is at its worst and the concentration of our people is at its worst. So therefore, our resource mobilization must go to that. Is our incubators in the right places? Is it in our rural areas, in our township areas? And so I just want to see where is the geographical spend, because we see, we get a sense that most of the small business probably tend to be concentrated in urban spaces, in your big cities like your Cape Towns, your Joburgs, your Durbans. But even in those areas, there's big townships around it. So do we have those incubators in those areas? I'll pause for now. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. I will now allow the department to respond. I know you have set up yourself. See, that can start with your question.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Member, thank you very much for the important issues that you have raised. Just on a few of them, the actions we will then take care of the rest. On our Kuzungula, we do accept your proposal insofar as the recommendation, insofar as the, should I say, advice, insofar as the curriculum is concerned, that when we're talking about partnering with schools, we should also think about other organizations, like you have mentioned. I think we do work through them, but I think the school environment is more formalized. I think with what you're saying, let's investigate other means by which we can formalize working with these other institutions that you mentioned. We are noting that. The issue, Honorable Kruger, about the feeder offices. Remember, what we're saying is that the offices per district, in other words, those 44 districts and 8 metros and then offices there, we are defining the bare minimum. It doesn't suggest that that's the ultimate. And therefore, whenever there would be scope to improve to that 44 plus 8, indeed we would do that. In fact, you would recall, one of the chair members, that already in the presentation that we have run here previously, we have indicated what we call co-location points. And those co-location points are further than just the district level offices. And already we're in excess of 8 co-location points. And in addition to the co-location points, and I'm talking about now the local municipal level, and in addition to those co-location points, we also have mobile services. And therefore the issue, If I know you're raising a general question, but I'm just saying, but in the event there may be specific localities who would want us to be part of programs that are happening, so please do give us a shout, as other members do so, when they have programs and activities that are happening in the different and various constituencies. We will not say, no, we can't go there, because we fully appreciate the distance that you're talking about. Nobody can deny that. The issue about financial reporting, I thought Honorable Chair, you addressed that to say it's going to be your internal discussion, because we report according to the guidance that we have received, and therefore if there has to be any adjustment or improvement to that insofar as financial reporting is concerned, I think we will get guidance from. You, Honorable April, you did mention, I just noted the issue about pitching boosters. Again, we're taking note of that, because I think
it's one of those important contributions to making sure that those openers who must be taken to the level of being investment ready, any effort is welcome as a contribution towards that. And therefore we are taking note of that. Honorable Jacobs, and maybe in a way that's what other members were raising as well. I think let's through the office of the chairperson and the committee secretary, I think let's package information and send it through. That would indicate the SMMEs that have been supported, so that members, even when you go to your constituencies or do whatever oversight, you have that says, if I go to wherever, I am expecting to find these incubators, to find these cooperatives, to find these SMEs. I think let's package that information, and I would want to appeal to my colleagues that maybe we package it in a user-friendly manner, so that it's clear who is cooperative, where that cooperative is, what that cooperative is doing, and what has been the extent of that support. I'm just saying, I think let's then send through the committee secretary that information. My last point, which I know the chairperson of CIFA will also speak to, is in terms of what Honorable Jacobs was raising. You would recall that at our previous appearance here, we did allude to the intention that had been worked out already between CEDAR and CIFA to then work out mechanisms of collaboration. In fact, we've gone further than that by documenting our approach. What remains now are two things. The first one is the formal adoption of that collaboration approach, which we have agreed between ourselves that we have to do that before the end of this year. Is the formal adoption of that by our two institutions, and secondly, is then the putting in place institutional mechanisms to effect this collaboration, so that it's not just on paper and we meet like once in a quarter or something like that, but there has to be institutional mechanisms to drive that collaboration. And as well, there is a link between that and what we've agreed to with the ministry, that we will also, besides our own, but at a tripartite level, if you like, the department, or should I say, as led by the minister in this particular case, and the two institutions as led by their respective boards, we have an arrangement to meet as well and go through the extent to which that collaboration, together with that of the department, is working. And therefore, I would want to then say it's good that from time to time, when we appear before the committee, we update the committee so far as the progress we're making in that regard. And in future, we will do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will cover the another part of the of what was asked on slide 13 regarding on entrepreneurship at school in terms of our program. I think we because this was targeted with youth at schools, what we found that it worked well. We had partnership with Prime Media, so we're using cinemas at the, I think over the weekend, Ms. Majola will add more, where we take some of the, I think some of these programs, they are turned into into movie settings and so that to something that can excite the young entrepreneurs. So they go there, they are bused to a specific cinema where they can go and learn about entrepreneurship in that particular setting. And then there's also boot camps that they are taken through. There's also then a business plan kind of competition that those learners, at the end of the day, then they will go for the finals, and then they teach, and then the one that has got the most a business plan that can be implemented, they get supported. They are directed through an incubator to help them to nurture that. But in most cases, they're still learners, they're still in school, so they can't just start a business. You find that they are being just nurtured to get support. How do you now finalize on this aspect of your business? How do you make this market viable in this area? How so they are getting that information as well. And I think Chair is indicated, is responded on the other part of it. And then I think Ms. Majola will touch on how do we motivate on the sustainability of the entrepreneurship school. How are we planning to move it forward? The other one that I can touch on is the issue of the incubation ecosystem mapping. I think it would be one of the documents that can be shared as well this first phase. But just to say, it's only 14% of those that are in the rural areas of the network that we currently have. Hence, the plans now on the expansion is really having an emphasis and focusing on rural areas and townships. That's where the focus of the expansion is at this point in time. In terms of this expansion, I think the department has set a target for 270 by 2024. So this expansion then now is targeting the gaps that we've already been identified. I think the rest, the Chair, you've answered. Ms. Majola, can you just elaborate on that one, for the training? Yes. I think during my presentation, I just indicated that the municipalities, the number of municipalities that we've touched on, for instance, the Vembe area, I've mentioned, in Free State, I spoke about Fezile, Dabi, Kharib, Mangaung, Thabo, Mofotsanyana, and also the different outreach points that they've got in the Free State. And then in the Eastern Cape, I mentioned the OR Tambo district that we've trained the LED officers in that area. And also I've mentioned in Northwest that we've worked with Dr. Kenneth Kaunda as well. And in Limpopo, we've worked with the Bembe district. Then I think on the, Ms. Majola, you can just share on the CETA service providers within which areas are they located as well.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the other district that we, in fact, let me just say, with the training of LED officers, we are prioritizing the district where the district development model has been launched. So we're supposed to be doing water bag this month. But we're not doing it due to their availability. So by the end of the third quarter, we would have done water bag and scaled up in OR Tambo district as well. Then regarding our partnership with the services sector, we developed an N2F level 5 skills program on business advising. And we will be rolling it out in all the local municipalities in Dangala district. We'll be training In fact, that's where we also received a lot of applications from Kangala District, as well as all the local municipalities in the Free State.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps what I should have done when I started earlier is to introduce Mr. Justice Khanya, who is part of the board. He has the Committee on Credit Investment, Credit Investment Committee on Predatory. So I'm saying so because he's going to be responding to one of the questions. Perhaps I should also apologize on his behalf. He's got a flight at 1 to cash. So at some point when we're done, before the department comes in, we'll have to leave so that he can be on time for his flight. Honorable the members, perhaps the person that I should indicate, respond to the question that was, not respond, but rather to concur with what the chairperson of CEDA, Mr. Sogone, raised regarding the plans on uptake. Perhaps the only thing that we acknowledged last time, is that one of the challenges, of course, is what is known, that the uptake is partly, the reason why they would have low uptake in certain areas, is also partly because people don't know about the agencies like ours. We've noted that it's work in progress that we must deal with. So it's work that perhaps as we move on progressively, you'll see us reporting more to indicate to you what exactly are we doing. We see the picture in the Northern Cape as being similar to the Northwest. There was a response earlier in the presentation, another response that indicated some of the interventions that we are doing there in the Northwest, which will be replicated elsewhere. Again, I want to concur. I think the question on a financial report, I agree absolutely with Honorable Sogon. I think will be guided by the committee more. On how we should interpret it. Makes sense that there must be a systematic comparison in terms of whether we're making progress or not. On integration of CEDA and CIFA, the perhaps one thing, and I don't think it was raised only by Honorable Jacobs alone, I think somebody has raised something similar. My understanding is that when you talk about that, part of it is not only about the face, because it relates also to the question that was raised about maybe. And the impact that we're making in those areas. So, then of course, it makes absolute sense that if we get to that logical level of approaching issues, that we're looking at concentration of demographics in relation to our response, it can bind us, of course. If you look at the map and look at the uptake in Gauteng, partly, although it was not raised in the present, partly as a result of the fact that in Gauteng, you have a higher concentration of SMEs, would be therefore logically be the ones that apply more for funding. So it may be a battle that may not be. Perhaps the question would be, especially for the activity that we all do in larger populated provinces like KZN, how do you get there without necessarily compromising the ones who have a lower percentage of population? The issue that I wanted to highlight on that front, the minister talks, perhaps I don't know the exact phrasing, I think the DG, because he spends more time where they will put it appropriately. The issue about the one face of SMEs. Our understanding is that it's not only about this framework that we are putting in place between the parties, but ultimately we must work towards one face in terms of the state, one face of interaction, of interfacing with the SME-related institutions like ourselves and CEDA. That's where we should ultimately go. So the framework, especially the common template, puts us one step in. So the rest would be how we begin to deal with issues of branding, how we begin to promote our programs jointly such that people can see that there's one single point of entry and the processing is done at the back end, whereas the front end is actually the same. So perhaps maybe just to add on that point, just last point, I had not intended to initiate, is just we anticipate that before the end of the year, as we have promised, would have everything would have been signed up. What we have done, we put up a 3-a-side on the board. All that was left, we were disrupted by other activities in the past 2 weeks for us not to meet. We should meet before the end of November. So definitely in the next report, we'll tell you that we basically done at an administrative level. And all is left is all that is left in implementation. SMME supported, I think it talks again to the issues, Honorable Jacobs. to the issues about mapping. I think it's absolutely logical we have to do that. Perhaps, and I don't know if I'll be throwing the equity under the bus, you know also that the minister has been talking about the common registry for SMMEs. Yeah, in our discussions, one of the issues that we're talking about is precisely that it's not only about having that registry, but that registry must also be connected to live mapping. We must be able to say, so if we are able to say these SMMEs are going to be, SMMEs are located in these areas, it becomes therefore possible to say where are they located relative to the location of the services that they're supposed to be getting, like the incubation hubs and so on and so on. So I think we take up the challenge on return on investment. I think it's very clear we should be able to give you better indication going forward. As to the auditing exercise, I guess it's common knowledge that the CIFA is audited by SNG. In that audit exercise, it's supposed to cover development impact issues and all the other issues relating to proper financial management and so on, governance and so on that the agency is supposed to do there. I'll hand over to, I'm saying we take this as a constructive input to guide us in terms of enriching the quality of the reports going forward. So respond as fast as and as much as we can, give you the depth that you actually deserve. I will hand over to Mr. Khanyako and Ms. Follow to finalize them, do the final input on our responses.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. On delays, there is planned and unplanned delays in disbursement. I'd just like to give a bit more of a theoretical and broader view on how this works. So because we're dealing with two different streams of funding, right, that being direct and indirect, and wholesale lending, you have huge amounts that have been approved and being dispersed at a point in time. So the size of investment does affect the timing of the disbursement, and it does then affect the management of that disbursement. So a disbursement or an approval is not immediately dispersed, but it is managed based on the agreed approval and obviously the nature of the investment that you're looking at. So I'll talk to the one major factor being type of product. You've got short-term funding and you've got overdraft-related type of funding. That normally would have to go faster because the need will be immediate for the entrepreneur and the applicant at hand. When you have long-term funding, you'll find that it will take a bit more of a managed engagement with the client before the funding is dispersed. The other part will be call it project time. You might find that the nature of investment that you're dealing with is going to be, let's say you're building a shop, so that will be a project investment. So that will take a bit of time to work through until the disbursement is taken through. There could be conditions that have been approved. Those conditions have to be met before the disbursement can be made. So delays in general over the 30 days or to 2 months could primarily be around the matter of managing the disbursement. It will be as agreed with the client. It will be in alliance with the project itself that you're funding. I hope, Honorable April, that just gives a bit of a sense. Sorry, my first time a bit butchered in giving the response. But overall, it's the overall framework that you're dealing with on a specific investment. You are talking about anything from 100,000 rand to 15 million on one hand, and you could be talking about anything from 10 million to 100 million on the wholesale side. So those two wide ranges then has implications on the overall management of the disbursement. You are dealing with a petrol station on one end, and there is a franchise relationship,
and you are dealing with a standalone guy with a standalone contract on another end. That also has implications on the management of the disbursement. So these are normal, right? That at any point in time you could be working on a certain period, maybe up to 90 days, that's more of a normal period. Very rarely do you find that you go over that period, and those are maybe construction projects and very specialized projects that then could have their own complications, and that then could have conditions, approval conditions, whether from authorities and the like that you have to adhere to. You do have operational distress or operational rigidities that then can also affect how an investment is dispersed or managed. That we try to minimize. That obviously is a point of improvement for us as an organization, but it does happen. And those rigidities could be conditions that are imposed that are not necessarily required, that then have to be brought back to committees to be put out to facilitate investment. I hope that, that helps.
Just unpack slightly, because sorry, Chair. So just to unpack, crystallize. So that there are issues that we would be within our control, which we have already identified as a board, that we have to go in and drill into. So we're not saying everything is perfect on our side. We're saying there's work that will still change. For instance, I think what precisely just to put it more without deliberating too much on it. When an approval is made, there may be conditions precedent that are required on the uptake of that loan to meet. So sometimes the delays are as a result of the person who's supposed to be taking up the money not being able to respond to those conditions precedent. And that will then therefore have to would have an impact on the time it takes to get the legal agreement which have finalized. So that is the one part. The other part of the issue that is raised. We just want to make sure. So the issues we know. We say there are standards that we put in first of all on how fast does it take for us to at least give an indication that we are going to approve. And secondly, once we say we are approving, what are those things that are within our control that we should make sure that we sanitize? The other danger which is raising is the problem of agreeing that you're lending so and so money and you run the risk of throwing all the money at him, then you start seeing Ferraris all over and nothing is going to the business. So that's why you have to check the money touches in response to the requirements of what is being funded.
Thank you. You want to add, oh, by the way, with the present, main presenter.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be brief. I think there were four specific questions that the chairperson and the board member hadn't covered. The first one was relating to the collections targets. I'll refer the honourable member to slide 16. So on slide 16, you will note that the target is 97.7 million for the quarter, and we collected 97.6 million. So we were 99% for the quarter in terms of collections. The second point raised was a question around whether CIFA offers start-up capital. Honourable members may recall that the Small Business and Innovation Fund, which CIFA is implementing through the Department of Small Business Development, is targeting those businesses and SMEs at the early stages of their life cycle. So those businesses that are at ideation, proof of concept, etc. So there is funding that is currently targeted at startup businesses, and we are implementing that. At the moment, the first tranche that we've approved and implemented are through 5 incubators that are operating in those early stages of the life cycle. And committed capital of 100 million has already been processed in the current financial year. And then I will come to the issue of the Khula credit guarantee scheme. So it is correct that there was no approval for the specific quarter. However, in quarter one, KCG recorded an approval of 60 million, which was a facility for black panel beaters and townships, so that they are able to access the insurance market and grow their business. And another very important measure on Khula credit guarantee is what we call taken up. So we approve a facility and then we want to see that the actual insurance, because it's an insurance product, we want to see that they've taken up on that facility. So whilst in the second quarter there weren't any new approvals, there were taken up on KCG of 33 million. So the product itself has come a long way, and since KCG introduced a portfolio guarantee where we go to financial intermediaries such as banks and offer to cover their portfolio of SMEs, we've seen a really good uptake of the product, and as a result there's a pipeline of 330 million that the team is processing from those various institutions to ensure that the approvals do come through. And then the last point I wanted to make was we take note of the Honourable Member's concern around particularly highlighting performance on cooperatives, but as CIFA we do support cooperatives. One of the schemes that actually received an award last week was cotton farmers, 21 cooperatives of cotton farmers in Mpumalanga that KCG is supporting. And there are many of those other types of schemes that support cooperatives. So in future presentations and reports, we will ensure that we highlight that separately. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members and the department can waive a break for 5 minutes unless there is a member which feels that wants to do something for us, because I don't want to rob you, but they have tried their best to can explain if ever we feel that there are certain issues which are not they may provide in writing. Honourable members.
Thank you, Chair. In your presentation, you spoke about black-owned, township-based, women and youth. When you say black-owned and township-based, women and youth, it sounds like you're speaking to the same constituency over and over. And then you're breaking it down with numbers. Can you just take us into confidence with regards to what you mean?
Thank you, Chen. I'll refer the members to the summary slide on page 21, which has the forecast of CIFA. So the way that CIFA measures is that you'll see on that slide we disbursed a total of 186.6 million. That 186 million is broken up into different pockets, and these are targets that we have to meet in terms of specific targeted groups. So you are correct. As an example, if you look at the women owned, which is sort of halfway through that table, we disbursed 65.5 million to women owned businesses. That 65.5 is included in the 186.6, but it is possible that you can find a woman-owned business that's also black and that's also youth. It is possible, and in the township. However, it is how we measure our performance, but it's possible also that you could find a woman-owned business that's not in the township, that's not youth-owned. So you could argue that there's an element of double counting, but that business represents what it does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's standard practice in the industry that when, like myself, no, except for you, I'm woman, I'm black, I will be counted for both those metrics.
Mm-hmm.
They won't say we take the woman and we leave the black, or we take the black and we leave the woman. But what is important for us is that when you look at it overall, we should be meeting all of those in those percentages that are set in the target. I hope that explains the change.
I'll take it outside the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. Otherwise, I'll leave my wig. to go and attend that particular study group if we're not done by one, because this report is also important. Over to you.
Honourable Chair, honourable members, colleagues, good afternoon. I'll try and be straight to the point and not waste your precious time. Slide 2 is just an outline of the presentation. Slide 3 it talks about the reason why we are here, which are to present our constitutional report, talk to the reasons for variance, where we have variance. We also talk about the challenges we experiencing and then how we're planning to address those issues. And then slide 4 talks to governance and compliance, just to indicate or highlight that we, in terms of governance, we are on par. We have our executive committee meetings, management committee meetings, audit, and risk committee meetings as required. And then one of the critical structures that we have is governance forum with entities where we meet with CIDA and CIFA to talk about the projects and programs that we are running together and try and make sure that there is an alignment. Then on the next slide, here we're just highlighting the acts and whatever we're complying with, just to indicate that we've presented our reports to the Portfolio Committee, Audit and Risk Committee, and we also tabled our annual report to the PC. And then, Chair, on the next slide, which is slide 7, just want to make one slight correction. On program 1, we had indicated there that the achievement is 100%. We just re-looked at the presentation and adjusted it downwards to 88% because one of the targets there, which is variance, was not met. We have a bigger variance than the one that was indicated there, which is 8.6%, which is on the same slide there. It's 8.6%, the bottom right column. It's 8.6%, which is the variance for this quarter. So we've just amended the performance to reflect to be the true reflection of our performance, which is 79% overall, not the 83%, and then underachievement is 21%. The following slide, I think, is just a comparative analysis of our achievement for the past year as well as the past two quarters. So there is a slight improvement from 75% in quarter 1 to 79% for quarter 2. Chair, and then I will go straight to program 1, which is on slide 11. We got an unqualified audit. I think we did communicate this information when we were presenting our annual report last time. And then there is that target that was not achieved, which is 8.6% variance, which is supposed to be 5% or less. And then one of the achievements, Chair, that we are always trying to improve on is the payment of invoices within 30 days. On average, our invoices, we pay them within 14 days, which is above the 30 days turnaround time. One of the targets, which is new, is the centralized database and portal. It's one of the commitments that was made by the minister. We are almost there in terms of launching this project. So we will be launching it soon because we need to have one database for all SMMEs and cooperatives in the country, as well as the portal that will assist us or assist the SMMEs to access the services, which could be either non-financial support or financial support in that same database or the same ecosystem. Next slide, Chair. Target was achieved on the awareness campaigns because we need to communicate what we are doing as a department and the services, how people can access the services of the department as well as the entities. So instead of 12, we had 25 engagements, and we are also here working with quite a number of stakeholders because they always invite our department to come and talk about the services that we have. So we had 25 instead of the 12 that we had targeted. Then in terms of women representation in the SMS of the department, we're still above the 50% target. We are 54.3% of women occupying senior management positions in the department. And in terms of people living with disabilities, we have 2.4%, which is above the 2% target. And then in terms of vacancy rate, we are sitting at 9.6%, which is a little bit up from the 7.7% that we had last year. Mainly here, Chair, we are in the process of finalizing the strategy, the five-year strategy of the department, which is being finalized now since the MTSF is almost done. And then after the strategy, five-year strategy plan has been finalized, then we will finalize our structure, which will assist us to operate as a department, because we cannot fill in positions now when the structure is not finalized. Then on the next program, which is program two, Chair, we were able to exceed the target that we had put there as a department, because what we did when the president pronounced on the district approach, we said let's also follow that by dealing with the issue of red tape at the district level. So we get a district, and then the district will also call on all its local municipalities to be part of the process. So we were targeting Northern Cape for this quarter two. We were able to deal with 11 municipalities against a target of 4. And we will be going back a couple of years down the line to check whether there is an impact in terms of interventions that we are introducing in these municipalities. On the next slide, Chair, slide 15, the first target was the consolidation of the amendments to the amendment or to the draft bill where we are revising our National Small Enterprise Act. We have started with that process of engaging with all the stakeholders internally and externally to get the inputs so that we can have one draft bill. But on the next slide, what we've done, we had put this target as one of our APP targets for 2019-2020. We had relooked at this matter, and we thought it's not correct for us to come up with a separate bill on Ombuds Service Bill. Because when you are a department and then you have quite a number of acts that you are utilizing to execute your mandate, sometimes you end up having acts that are contradicting each other. So we are saying we need to have one act in the department. So we are taking the Ombuds Service Bill inputs, we are going to incorporate them into the Small Enterprise Bill that will be presented in Cabinet quite soon. We are targeting, in fact, this year still, if we can still have another cabinet meeting taking place before the end of the calendar year. So we are in the stage where the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor has assisted us in drafting those amendments. Right now, the process in quarter three is with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. They are in the process of doing what they call socio-economic impact assessment to check whether the bill would be good for the economy, the stakeholders, and whatever. So we are in that stage now where we are finalizing those with the Department of DPME. Then on the next slide, Chair, we are. This is one also of the new targets that we have as a department to develop a national SMME index. We've done quite a number of consultations, and I must indicate that I think people have been waiting for this SMME index. We got positive feedback, and they made great inputs that we're incorporating into the SMME index, because everyone wants to know what is the impact of the interventions that is, that are being introduced either by government or by DFI on the SMME, how these impacts or interventions are making an impact in the health of the SMME. So we've engaged with quite a number of provinces, as indicated there in the slide. And then the next one, Chair, which is also part of the process of reducing red tape, we're looking at coming up with a new registration system of cooperatives. We've done an analysis of the current processes. We have also mapped it out, and a report has been produced to that effect, because we think SMEs, cooperatives in particular, are very critical in assisting the country to address the inequalities, especially in the rural areas where most of the people are. So we are in that process. We want to make sure that we simplify this process. And then, Chair, on the next target, which is the quarter report on the implementation of business turnaround and retention, because we believe that as government we've invested a lot of money on SMEs, and we cannot just discard or allow those SMEs to fold if they are not performing well. So we have introduced a program. We did a study previous years, and then we developed an implementation plan to that effect, because we want to assist those entities that can still be rescued, because an investment has been made in those entities, so we should not just allow them to fold. But those that cannot fold, cannot be assisted or to turn around their situation, there is nothing we can do about that. But those that we have, they have a chance of surviving, we do intervene. Chair, on the next program, which is Program 3, Integrated Cooperatives, I think see the colleagues that we are utilizing to assist us to achieve this target. We had the target of 4 product markets, targeting 4 provinces, which is Eastern Cape, Northwest, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. They have been high-level engagements, because in some areas, for example, the offices of the Premier, they want to be involved in the project because they look at what it can achieve. For example, Eastern Cape, we have a very good relationship with that province, because they want to do more than just a product market. They want to link it to the other surrounding industries in that area. So we've done that analysis. We've had quite a number of engagements with them, and we are progressing well. On the next one, Chair, where we are, because we don't want, when we talk to the private sector in particular, as well as government, when we talk about them supporting SMEs or integrating the SMEs into their value chains, they need to have SMEs and co-ops that are producing quality goods and services. So we are in the process of assisting SMEs to have tested and improved goods and services. We've done a report on the requirements, so that we are not met with an excuse where our private sector stakeholders in particular say, no, these SMEs, they don't produce quality goods, so we can't integrate them. So we have these initial engagements with them to get their standards, so that we can produce appropriate interventions. Then the target next one, which is cooperatives, which was not achieved, we had a target of dispersing 22 million. We only dispersed 11.1 million, and most of these claims that were submitted to us, they were non-compliant, and because we are strict in terms of implementing the Auditor General's recommendations, we thought we should, rather than us dispersing money to non-compliant cooperatives, let's wait. We rather understand than spend money that goes to entities that are not compliant with the requirements as per the PFMA. So we only dispersed 11 million out of the 20 million that we're supposed to disperse. Then on the next one, here, Chair, we are also trying to assist our SMEs, because most of the complaints that we receive from our SMEs is that they enter into these contracts either with government and in some instances with the private sector, but they don't understand the terms of this contract. They are more desperate to get the contracts than to look at the contracts diligently to make sure that it favors them. So we are coming up with a blueprint on SMEs, cooperatives, and contracting, so that they will be able to have good contracts that also favor them. And since we don't even have the ombudsman yet. It's a challenge for them to take up the issues when they have issues either with government departments or with the private sector. So we are coming up with this standard contracting template for our SMEs and cooperatives. And then on the next one, Chair, we're also engaging with the industry bodies because what we want is to have a common understanding in terms of what their needs are as the industry bodies, so that we don't have excuses at the end of the day where they say, no, we don't know your SMEs don't understand our way of working. So we are proactively engaging with the industry bodies to be on the same wavelength with them so that we can together assist cooperatives and SMEs to get businesses from these industries. Then the next slide 21, we have then a target. This is a new target on blended finance. Chair, we had decided at the beginning, when the sixth administration started, to start introducing blended finance. So we took some money out of the BPSDP program, which is 100 million. Unfortunately, we couldn't disperse it during quarter two. We had to go through National Treasury to get approval. We had to enter into a MOA. We had to amend that MOA because National Treasury was not happy about certain clauses. So it delayed us dispersing money to CIFA so that they can start implementing the blended finance model. But now it's done. Everything is proceeding in that respect. And then on the next one, Chair, we had a target of dispersing 33 million. We only dispersed 21 million to black-owned SMEs. Again, the issue here was the issue of compliance. We had to make sure that we are diligent in terms of checking, because in some instances what we've discovered is that people who are working for government, they still apply for grants, they want to do business on the side. In some instances, there is connectedness, so you find that one person is a supplier, they're, on the other hand, they present themselves as an entrepreneur. So we've had to go through CSD, the Central Supplier Database, to check the status of these businesses, to also look at the connectedness. We go through CIPC using the ID numbers of the applicants to check whether they are also not connected to other businesses. We also need to consult with Department of Public Service and Administration to check whether the people who are applying for our grants, are they not part of government, they don't have personal numbers. So there is a lot of work that needs to be done before we can disperse money. So we always err on the side of caution and not disperse money without getting proper checks and balances in place. And then, Chair, on the next slide, we are in the process of developing a master plan for SME. The country does not have, as a country, we don't have an SME master plan. So we are in the process of consultations. We've done quite a number of consultations. We are also considering delaying this master plan, Chair, because there is a process that is led by the DTI in under their Reimagine Industrial Strategy, where they are coming up with quite a number of master plans, especially for the key sectors that have been mentioned by the President. So we are saying, instead of us having a private process, we must look at all these master plans once they are done, look at how these master plans can be influenced to incorporate the SMEs and cooperatives. So what we are doing now, we've allocated colleagues to be part of all these master plans that have been drafted by DTI, some of them by Department of Tourism, others by Department of Minerals and Energy, so that we can talk to our SME and make sure that they are part of these processes. You know, industrial strategy should not just be about big businesses, but there should be opportunities to develop SMEs and cooperatives through these master plans. And then on the next one, Chair, in terms of the concept to support informal sector, We've been doing some consultations because what we've discovered is that when we develop some measures previously, there are certain people that were not consulted, that were not part of the process. So we are coming up with new interventions, and we have had to do consultations with quite a number of stakeholders, and then we are doing well in terms of that process because we cannot do these plans without the involvement of the stakeholders that are critical in the process. Funding model produced. Here we are on par as we are progressing in terms of coming up with new funding models, and I think Minister has already launched the blended finance last week, as well as the Small Business Innovation Fund, because we are coming up with new models of funding SMEs, things that we have not been doing before. So we've come up with new models, and we are in the process of introducing more. As we are talking to other stakeholders, we are in discussions, for example, with the Department of Agriculture, as they want to also come on board through Land Bank as well. So there is some progress in terms of us being able to come up with one a policy as well for SME funding. We are we've been given that responsibility. By the end of this financial year, we should be having an SME funding policy that will address all the interventions, especially from the government side, but we are saying this will be a national policy that will also talk to the private sector as well. Chair, I have a CFO with me. Can I request her to also talk? I realize that with CIFA and CIDA, there were ladies who were making presentations, so I must also do the same. Thank you.
After all, it's a competence. So, not less than that, she's a Mogoda, but really today I'm impressed that women were making good presentations. Over to you, Mogoda.
Thank you, Chair. just to talk on the financials in relation to the quarter, which is quarter two. Good afternoon, members. Through you, Chair, we had planned as the department to spend 519.8 million, and we only spent we were going to spend 568.7 million. I beg your pardon, and we managed to spend 519. Chair, slide 20, the first one on the quarter performance. Sorry for that. My driver doesn't have a proper license. So the projection there was 568. We spent 519 with a variance of 48.9 million, which is 8.6. If you recall, when the acting DG was referring to one of the targets that we were not able to achieve is this particular one where we had said our threshold is 5% or less. So we have underperformed by 3.6%. When you translate that, looking at the next slide, which is slide 26, in terms of the year-to-date expenditure, we have 2.56 billion that we have been allocated as a department, and as indicated, year-to-date we have spent, if you add quarter one and two, we spent 906.6 million with a variance budget remaining of 1,662,000. As members would also know, when CIPA spoke to us earlier on, we spoke about the SBIF, which is the one billion additional funding that we received from National Treasury that we disbursed to CIPA. And the challenge here is that we lag behind in terms of spending in line with the spending plan. And as Acting DG has already indicated, we were lagging behind on BDSDP, we were lagging behind on CIS, we were lagging behind on our SAFE program, because especially on the SAFE program, because we decided to redirect the funding from the Shared Economic Infrastructure program towards the product market, which was part of what us ushering and being responsive to the SIFA administration's targets. Thank you. So in terms of Q2 performance per program, administration underspent by 1.3 million, program 2 underspent by 3.2, program 3, which is where the CIS program is, underspent by 19.5 million, and Program 4, which is the Enterprise Development and Entrepreneurship Program, underspent by 25 million. This is where the BBSDP and the SBIF programs are. So in terms of spending, the same expenditure in terms of economic classification, we underspend in the compensation of employees budget by 5 million. As DG has already indicated, we do have vacant posts, and those posts have been held at bay until the structure has been finalized. Goods and services underspend by 3.3 million. Transfers and subsidies by a net underspending of 40.9 million. And capital expenditure overspend by 242,000. If we look at the comparing quarter 2 of 18-19 and 19-20, there has been a slight improvement in terms of the variance. We're sitting at 8.6, whereas 18-19 we were at 16.6, which gives us a net movement of 8% in terms of improvement. And the reasons we have these variances is that it's a net effect. Members will notice that the biggest item that has the red brackets, I'd like to start there, is at 113.3 million, which is this. When we had hoped, because we had changed our cash flow projections, we took most of the money that was within the programs that were not moving, after we received our approval from National Treasury, to transfer it to CIFAR. Had we not transferred that money, we would have had a huge underspending from the other programs. So as CIFA has already reported, there has been a marked improvement in terms of the approvals from their side in line with the SBIF program that we are implementing. We had money that we spent of 89.2 that was not drawn from quarter one by CEDA. BBSDP, we had about 40 million. CIS about 18 million, NIBAS, which is our program that we support, it's actually three-pronged. We look at the informal businesses. We were developing infrastructure programs, which we have redirected the money from pure infrastructure programs to supporting the product market that DG spoke to. So there was a delay in spending there. And we also have what we call the customized sector program that is centered around crafts that also underspend by 490,000. And I've already spoken to the COE, which is our compensation of employees, that underspend by 5 million, and goods and services. In the main, underspend on the research projects that we stopped when we revisited the annual performance program, that we are going to reprioritize the funding to other programs that have been deemed urgent for the new APP. And we also had invoices that were still expected from the travel agencies that amounted to the 3.3, including the research projects. How are we planning to catch up? We had tasked our legal services program. I think we reported this in program as well, with quarter one reporting as well, that we have approached the Office of the State Law Advisor to tell us or give us a view on dealing with the non-compliant claims that we already have in our pipeline. So we have received some form of response that we at EXCO still need to discuss and determine whether we'll be accepting the advice from the state law advisor or not. And with this, I also wanted to say that we do have about, it's no longer a billion, that's the sad news. National Treasury reduced the allocation by 300 million, so we now only have 700 million remaining for the entire program. So we will be disbursing or transferring the amounts to CIFA in this quarter, towards the end of the quarter. Once we've received reports, I think we've asked for performance reports from CIFA, and then once that is acceptable to us, we will transfer the money to CIFA. And in terms of the NIBAS program, we have reprioritized funding around the informal businesses that we support in terms of the instruments to CEDA, but that only happened in quarter three. With the CRAFT, we have realigned the cash flow projections, and I think in this month we will be processing before the end of the month some of the transfers in line with the MOAs that we have with the centers. And as indicated earlier, with the research programs that we couldn't implement through supply chain processes, we are reprioritizing money to other priority programs. COE, we have agreed as EXCO that we would bring in contract staff to get the job done whilst we're waiting for the staff, for the structure to be finalized and approved. And as indicated with goods and services, we are reprioritizing the funding to align to the current ATP that we currently have. If you permit, Chair, maybe I should also talk to the requirement for us to address the audit findings or provide progress on the audit findings that were raised by AGSA during the 18-19 financial year. So today, we had actually 26 findings. We have addressed 42% of those that we are comfortable with. 50, we're still working on. It's work in progress. As I've said, 50% of those, which is 13 findings, we have 7 that are related to the incentives and the guidelines that we have to undertake a full review and make sure that we fully implement the guidelines as required. And we still have 1 finding that related to the completion of the standard bidding document 7.2, which is in essence just a contract between us and a service provider that we have not consistently been applying within the department. And the other 5 that remain, for me, these are the biggest concern, where we haven't fully ensured that our predetermined objectives, which is the performance information, adheres to the SMART principle. And that when we make claims in our annual report, these claims are supported by evidence that can be tested by both the internal auditors and the external auditors. And we have 2 items that were not yet due in terms of our timelines, which is the BEE compliance certificate that we are expected to, we have undertaken the procurement process for a service provider to assist us in getting certified. And the 1920 annual financial statements are not yet due. They'll only be due next year, end of May 2020. For 1920, and by way of process, how we manage this is that each DG's direct report looks at their internal controls, weaknesses in their own areas, come up with controls that will be implemented, and I only get the input, consolidate, and provide a summary like this to the audit and risk committee within the department, and now to the portfolio committee as required.
Thank you. Honourable members, that literally means past half past. So we are still on time. Please, Shani, my question, my page, you don't like a letter now. In that order, Sis Lorraine, you are the first. Honourable Kruger, number 2. Honourable 3. Honorable April 4, Honorable Chomela 5, Laura Potamis, Senior Pom, Honorable Bele 6, and then the last batch of 1 will be the whip. So, whip, I thought you will take a first bite because I may release you so that you join the team. Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to get clarity on page 29 under Product Market and Development Program. You have indicated that you made an agreement to finalize to finalize the urgent need for transfer of 200 million.
in order to kickstart the project immediately. So I just wanted to get clarity, because the fact you finalized in September and now it's November. So I just wanted to get clarity on that. Was the transfer, was 200 million already transferred? Or has it already kickstarted? I mean, was the project already kickstarted? Thank you,
Chairperson, and thank you for the department for the informative presentation. Chair, I've got a few questions. You know, for the part since this department in 2014, they promised us to do something about red tape. And every year when the World Bank's report comes out, we lose a few positions. So it seems like the strategy don't work. So I was wondering, what are we going to do, and it's very urgent, about the ease of doing business. And how are we going to make sure that when the next report comes out, we actually, our position will be more favorable than other countries. You know, just to, about red tape, you know, in 2004, there was a study done that red tape cost us 75 billion rand, small businesses. So it must be much more now. I mean, that was 2004, and I hope somebody will do some sort of a research in the future, and to so that we know exactly how much red tape cost us. But I'm sure if we take it as 4% of the GDP, it will be a lot more money. And then, Madam Chair, I'm very concerned that we still sit with the acting DG. So, say again? Yes, very concerned, and I was wondering, when are we going to have an appointment for a permanent PG? And then, Madam Chair, I would like to know from the department, what are they doing about double dipping? There's a lot of small businesses out there that get a little bit of money from rural development, and then they go to agriculture department and get money from there, and then they come to small business, same business plans, same ideas, but they get from different departments money, and I would just like to know from the department how do we manage this whole process of small businesses funding, especially funding in South Africa, because there's a lot of consultants and potential small business that actually makes a lot of money out of business, you know, the business concept in South Africa. And then last one, Chair, actually not the last one, I just want to know from the department, when will we have a 100% presentation, a fully presentation on the corruption report of the AG? We need to see that report and what has been done about the findings. And then the last one, it seems like the department is a consultation company, because I counted, I think it's more than 8 or 9 places where they're still busy consulting various stakeholders. So I think their mandate is not consulting. Their mandate is to do. And South Africa need a department that can do, because small business out there is suffering. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Let's start with the spending. I note that for many line items, you spent less than 50% of your budget. For example, integrated cooperative development is 26%, sector police and research is 28%, and transfers is 35%. Can you please dwell more on the why? And perhaps if you're going to try and recover in the last 6 months, is it not going to be problematic in the sense that you end up rushing things and not following due processes? The second question is relating to what the minister said in the July budget speech, where she spoke about 100,000 young entrepreneurs will be funded by the Small Business Innovation Fund. To have information on that, firstly, how many people have been funded so far, which provinces, and if it's less than 50%, why is it so? Then also there's the request or the talks to have cooperatives to be part of the small business department. Do you have any database or any information as to how many co-ops do we have in the country and in which industries? Then the last question, again, the incubation hubs, I think there's a plan to have 100 by 2021. Where are we now? Those are the only questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Les.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome this report with open arms. Well, guys, I am so impressed by the work that they are doing and the work that has been done. I've seen all of the lot of red things there, but the fact that you could have explained to me how we are going to get out of that and give us the assurance that we'll be getting into the green is quite impressive. However, Chair, this department is a Hollywood department. You know, Hollywood is full of actors, and there's a lot of actors in this department. I've been singing this song since I came here. Can we take this department out of Hollywood and bring it to South Africa and remove all the actors and get people who are permanently in their positions? Other than that, I welcome the report. There's nothing much that I can say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Echoing colleagues on the presentation. Mine is just a clarity-seeking question on an explanation that was given by the CFO. And I'm not sure if I heard correctly, so I want to check that I've noted it correctly. And it was a statement around how the approval by National Treasury for the allocation to the Small Business and Innovation Fund was 700 million. Is that to say that the announced sort of quantum of the fund is not a billion? Sorry, the amount is not the announced quantum of a billion, or have I sort of just lost a link in the chain there? Because I'm trying to see what the 700 million approval from Treasury links into the announced amount of 1 billion. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also appreciate the report by the department and really say that I was impressed when they were speaking about the AGIS findings, how are they trying to address it. So I hope when they have finalized all the AGIS findings, in terms of attending them, we'll be able to get the final report. But Chair, on slide 12, there is an indication that 30 awareness campaign has been made with communities and different stakeholders. But Chair, I just want to get information where it has been done, even if we cannot get it today, but we need to get it in future. And is there any room for improvement? Because I've seen that in terms of your quarterly target, you have achieved your quarterly target and we still have time to cover, but 30 for me is not enough looking at the country and how our people are trapped in poverty. So I want to check if we have any room for improvement. And then the last question, Chair, it's on slide 18, where it talks about the cooperative supported to the value of 1 million, Chair. I've seen that reasons is not attached, especially in the last one where indicated that the cooperative supported to the value of 22 million, and then it says not achieved, supported to the value of only 11.1 billion, which means it's underachievement. So I just want to get the clarity, why is it not achieved? Because when you look at the other side, it says non-compliance, but above that slide, where it talks about 20 SMEs and COPs, there is no reason, if we can get a reason for that not achievement. And thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. First question, I think the reasons for under-expenditure is well explained, and CIFO, we embrace those reasons. We're halfway through the year, so I think there must be improvements, and I think you just need to keep consistently at dealing with this reason so that you come again, you don't say that vacancies or this. So, I mean, the pipeline and the cleaning up to ensure that there's no corruption, there's no, I think it's well noted, and it's better to be conservative more than to just make disbursements. So I think we embrace that paradigm, acting DJ. In terms of the bills, where is the department with the three interventions regarding the reviewing of and developing generic bylaws, engaging Treasury on the cost of tender documents, and the tabling of the SME of the Ombudsman Service Bill? I think that was some commitment that was made, so just give us a sense on that. And then in the budget speech, the Minister did make some pronouncements and commitments, and I'm sure it was taken into the department. If we can just share, I think it's the 100,000 young entrepreneurs. I think Minister made an announcement on that. The increase incubation period to a maximum of 5 years. That was also a commitment, how far we were that. An additional 9 centres with full occupation service will be established in all the provinces. Have that been established? The database of SME and cooperatives, I think we did speak to that, but how far we with those? The digital hubs, the Minister did make mention about the Vodacom rollout of the digital hubs. Is that being implemented? How far we with that? And then there was a commitment to a standardized business plan template. I'd like to see how far we with that, I'd like to see at least the template, the current template. So if we can share that to the portfolio committee, because part of the cutting down of red tape is to have one standard business plan template so that we can all get people to build capacity around that. How far are we with that? In the current APP, Minister speaks about incubation hubs in 100 townships by 2021. And I think that links to my question earlier, Chairperson, where is the mapping of those townships and hubs? I think we spoke about the SMME index, the registration process for cooperatives, and also the bill at the state law advisors, and also the alternative dispute resolutions. I think we just need to see time frames, deadlines for those things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I will now invite the department to respond. Acting DG.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe the first one, Honourable Lubeno, is the slide 21, 200 million. Yes, the 200 million has been transferred to CIFA to start with the project. The Small Business Innovation Fund, and already they've already approved 100 million out of the 200 million. So there is some movement in that. And then the second set of questions are from Honorable Kruger. Maybe I must just congratulate him. He lost some weight. I need to lose some weight. Maybe he can give some tips on how to do it. I need to reduce my belly. The first one on red tape, Chair, it's a national target now. It's not just our target. I'm sure you remember the President during the State of the Nation address did give government a target to move up the rankings. There is some movement. DTI recently, I think it was 2 weeks ago, they implemented the BIS portal, because one of the issues that has been raised was that it takes, I think, 5 days to register a business, to also get the relevant documentation from other government departments. So the BIS portal is there. A person can register a business within hours and also get the BBB certificate, get the tax clearance from at the same time. So there is some movement there that we are, and we are part of the team that is driving this process together with National Treasury, GTI, which are key departments that are assisting with the integration of this. So for individual businesses, we believe that by the time they rank us for the next round, we'll have improved as a department or as a country. Then in terms of double dipping, this question will also respond to some of the questions that were raised by Honorable Jacobs. It talks to the National SME Database that the Minister spoke about when she delivered a budget vote. We are almost done with the establishment of that. She will be launching it very soon. Because in that national database, what we're going to have, we need to have unique numbers for each and every enterprise. So if you want to double dip, your name or your number will come up in another government department. So all government departments will be utilizing one database to check the status of the business to make sure that we also guard against the double dipping. So the unique number, registration number for enterprises will assist us to address the double dipping issue. Maybe quickly also to talk about the common template. The common template is done. We started implementing it between ourselves, CEDA and CIFA, and it's IDC and NEF. They are the ones who will be starting to implement it, so it's there. It was launched by the Minister last week together with the other two interventions. And then the other question was the report on the forensic report. And for now, Honourable Chair, this is an ongoing process. So there are disciplinary processes that are ongoing. There was a slight delay from the side of the chairperson. She had an accident, so she was hospitalised. So they had to allocate another person to assist us with the chairing of the disciplinary hearings. So, but that person has been briefed, so there will be some traction in that aspect, but we will only be able to provide a proper report once this thing has been finalized. The other, I think it was a comment from Honorable Kruger on consulting. I think that's the challenge we have as a department, that if we move ahead without consulting, people start distancing themselves from whatever intervention we are doing. So we have to, because we are responding to the needs of the SMEs and cooperatives, we still need to consult with them so that whatever we design, also they will buy into it and also embrace it. So we'll always have to consult before we finalize the project. But we are trying to limit as much as possible the time we spend on consultation so that we spend more time implementing the interventions. And then I'll request the CFO to respond on the budget questions that are raised, 50%.
Thank you, Chair. The concern raised around the spending and the catch-up is indeed valid. However, And I think acting DG has already indicated earlier, we will not spend for the sake of spending. We have held back, as I said, with the incentives, especially from a pipeline perspective. We do have a pipeline, but where applications are not meeting the minimum requirements, we will not just disperse for the sake of dispersing, because then we will have to come back and implement corrective measures, undertake forensic audits, which cost a lot more money than what is allocated. And in terms of the corrective measures that we have indicated, when we were reporting at quarter two, let's say for this program, as I had said, because we had issues with National Treasury approving the transfer amount, it wasn't so much that we didn't have money. The money was there, but they had to approve us transferring the money to SIPA in PS. So because we had the money, we implemented, hence we could transfer an additional 130 million over and above what we initially projected in the cash flow projection. So we have been allocated 1 billion up until the end of September. But during the adjusted estimates of national expenditure, that allocation was reduced by 300 million to 700 million. So hence I said, part of the remedial actions for us is to transfer the remaining 500 million, because SIPA already has the 200 million. And as indicated as well by SIPA earlier, 100 million has already been approved. The disbursements will hopefully happen shortly. So we still have about 600 million that still must be approved towards this program. And that SIPA has promised that they do have an adequate pipeline to be able to approve and disburse the money. And which also ties back to that 100,000 youth-owned enterprises. DSBD is not going to be transferring the money from our own vote. SIPA is tasked with implementing that function. So SIPA also reported earlier on that within that 100 million, they'll be telling us how many youth enterprises would have been allocated funding. We also have in the blended finance program that we're implementing 100 million that we've already transferred, that we will be giving to SIPA to implement on our behalf as DSBD. So in terms of the pipeline around transfers, we are not so much worried, except in the CIS and the BBSDP pipeline issues. So if there is any material understanding, it would be in there, especially if we still do not get ourselves or at least the applicants to comply to the minimum requirements that we have. And as Chair, as FCDG has already said, we are definitely not prepared to disperse just because we have an application on our table. And in terms of the filling of posts, I think, as we said, part of our catch-up plan is to bring in contract posts that will help us get the work done up until the structure is finalized for us to be able to fill in posts. Got it. I think I've already spoken to the 700 million issue that was asked earlier. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable members, here the response. Do you still have follow-up questions? Ms. Kati Velisisambile,
thank you, Chair. I think two of my questions were not spoken to. The Small Business Innovation Fund, as well as the database for the co-ops, unless I missed them.
You want to respond to those ones?
Thank you, Chair. I thought the young entrepreneurs CFO had attempted to respond to that one. That we transferred the money to SIPA to assist with that. As I said, they've approved 100 million, but what we have not done is breaking that one down to whether how many young entrepreneurs were supported there. I think we can provide that information in writing with how many people were funded who are young people towards the target of 100,000. And then in terms of the database, it's going to be part of the new database. We do have a database because CIPC, for example, because they are the ones who register cooperatives, when they talk about the number of cooperatives, they talk about over 100,000 cooperatives. But if you look at how many of those are operational, no one can tell you, because some people, you will remember a few years ago, people were encouraged to form cooperatives if they want to get grants. So it was, the registration was not induced by an enterprise or entrepreneurship opportunity. It was more informed by the needs, the co-ops, people were being put together to access funding from government. So in terms of verifying the status of those cooperatives is quite a challenge. That's why we are coming up with this database. It will be a database for both SMEs and cooperatives, and it will be verified because we are also working with some partners who do verification of those enterprises so that we don't have bogus enterprises who are registered in our database. Chair, maybe just one comment as well on other questions that were raised by the members that have left. They were mostly about the minister's 100 days commitment. We can provide that information in terms of how far we are, because we are making some progress. Some have been launched already, some are in progress, but we'll provide information in writing on each and every commitment that was made by the minister during the budget vote speech. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you to our officials from the department and our agency. I will make some closing remarks on this report. Honorable members, let's appreciate indeed the presentation and guide properly. We'll appreciate if CEDA can consider establishing a culture of entrepreneurship, which can maybe introduce even to primary school, because the issue of roadshow, yes, is there, but it's not that effective. I can cite an example on another field, on issue of other sports. If you check South Africa and other countries, there are certain sporting activities which are not familiar with us. So this is a new department. I agree with Honorable Kruger. It is 5 years old, but Honorable Kruger, we are happy that you can see that there are some improvement. So as a committee, ours will be to guide you so that you shine. Issue of consulting other stakeholders, I think it's critical, because this committee or this department can't work in silo. It needs to work with other committees. Hence, we have got economic transformation subcommittee or cluster, even in parliament. So that should be our role. But what we need, DG, will be cooperation from your side, because here in parliament we can promote that. You can see members are moving out. There are something which they are doing in their study groups, because they've got some study groups as different parties here. So to be effective, whatever will be proposed by this portfolio committee needs also to be applicable the other side of the mountain. Otherwise, it won't assist us, because indeed this department cannot be able to reduce this high unemployment of 29% at this stage. But what is critical is to liaise with other departments. I'm happy, DG, you mentioned the issue of agriculture, which will be assisting through Land Bank. I happen to agree with my colleagues here on the issue of time frames, on all those issues which you have presented. The master plan to be developed, if you can be furnished with the time frame, we'll appreciate. And the standard
contracting which with SMEs and cooperatives which you are trying to develop so that kube lula for those what you call entrepreneurs and our cooperatives, because the stumbling block here, when I check, I was analyzing your page 12 CEDA, where you were talking about awareness of 12,000. Just check your document at home, not now. I'm making some closing remarks. And then you mentioned the diagnostic process of 11,200 and something. But when it comes to training, you are saying you have trained 5,000. So my interest will be to be updated when we move towards for us as a committee to compare the ATP as well as the what you call the second quarter report, so that at the end of the day the input must the output should be determined by the input. So can't make some awareness for many, many people, and then along the way by a drop and a bobandu. Because to me, what is critical is to make sure that job creation is created, and the CIFA is at the CIDA is at the center. We are born out CIFA on and you keep him his mark, but you niggas will carry a lovely now is CIDA. So we'll appreciate that because it's true, our people down there, they know nothing about CIDA. I've been to many, many provinces, visiting many, many chiefs in those rural areas. They are evenly not aware. So that awareness, I think, is very important. Again, that awareness must be tracked by the department to make sure Kuti achieve what we want to achieve, because our goal is to create jobs. And then another thing which I may request is the cooperation by the department on issues of Auditor General. We appreciate what you have reflected here, but you must not take long. When I indicate issue of cooperation, I know Auditor General is not harsh to anyone. If you cooperate, move together with them, you might even arrive to a clean audit. Because what is key, Auditor General's regulations need to be adhered to. Issue of compliance is a must, not a favor. So we'll appreciate if you can do that. Again, you mentioned the issue of reviewing guidelines, where you are saying you are busy with your state laws. We appreciate that, but we'll appreciate if the department can have its own legal team. Because to me, state laws are there as an umbrella body. They are there for consultation purposes, which Honorable Kruger does not like, but at provincial level, departments have got their own legal team. Even the legislature has got its own legal team for guidance purposes. The one I do have bolega yasupa safety, yasupa ifanana la mashedo audit committees. If you don't have yours, it becomes a problem. However, we understand that the department is new, but administratively, these are the issues which you need to check, which items are supposed to uplift you. More especially yourself, because you are the custodian of this budget as the CFO. You are the most accounting officer. If you don't advise properly the DG and the minister, so, can we be furnished with, although my colleagues have mentioned that, but it assists us, we want to have a picture, how many applicants were made, categories, and how many were
went through and how many were rejected. Even if you don't give me the answer here, I can appreciate if I can receive that so that we have a clue. And again, after they have been rejected, what next? Ngisho umuntu noma thole divorce court uyashada futhi. After the rejection cedar, are you not worried about your daughter? Uhlekile umshado ngapha. Ngini ni trainayo, ngini ni yenza ama business plan to assist those SMEs. But we need more improvement and more collaborations with other department who are supposed to assist us on issues of job creation. It's not this department's baby, but that collaboration need to be there. Also, the issue of SMEs funding policy and the issue of engaging private sector will appreciate in the future when you come here. You inform us about those. All in all, thank you so much. The meeting.